Thank you, Cornelius, and thank you to the praise team that began here this morning. It is good to see other people as they lead and as they worship. May God give his blessing and increase to that. I want to greet you again this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus with the words that we find in Ephesians chapter 1. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. I too want to bid all of you a hearty good morning and a very hearty welcome to this time here in this sanctuary. I am glad that you have come. It is good to be here with you again in your midst. I want to begin this morning by focusing or asking a few questions that you can answer for yourself in your heart. And I hope that these questions will generate some thinking among us. How do you feel about the days and the times that we are living in? Do you feel that spiritually, it is pretty good around us? Are you satisfied with how much spiritual growth we see in our families, among our relatives, in our churches, or in our communities? Or do you have a concern? Let me use a few examples this morning. The first one out of Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." How much time do we really spend on filling ourselves with the words of Christ? Is it a few minutes a day? Is it an hour per day? Would God say that his word dwells richly among us? When we're speaking and talking to one another, are we teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns? Or do we not talk about those things when we get together? In Hebrews 10, verse 24 is my second example. It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." Do we have an obligation one to another? Or do we realize that when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together on a Sunday morning, that it affects more than just ourselves? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'll start reading from verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Thus far. And I want to focus more so on the last three verses of this portion of Scripture. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Why does the Apostle Paul exhort us to walk circumspectly? Circumspectly means to walk carefully or to consider all circumstances, and also to consider the possible consequences of our walk. Why is he telling us to redeem the time? He says it is because the days are evil. Do we recognize that we are living in an evil day? Or do we think that we are still doing pretty good or okay? Now, I am very, very thankful for the many good and faithful believers in our churches and in our communities. The faith that they have toward the Lord Jesus and the love that they show to each other. That is what keeps us encouraged. But go back a few pages to Ephesians 1, starting from verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians. He says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul recognized the value of fellow believers. He gave endless thanks for them, it says, and it says he prayed for them. I don't want you to get the wrong impression of what I am saying here today, that I think that everybody is bad or that everything is bad. It is not. And I am very grateful for those who still put their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do believe that if we do not walk carefully, or if we walk as other fools, that will contribute to the ruin of ourselves and of others around us. The Apostle Paul, he had a concern in his day, and I believe we need to have a real concern in our day. You know, we read in Genesis 6, verse 5, from the time before the flood, and it says that God saw that the wickedness of men was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then in Matthew 24, Jesus said, As the days of Noah were, so will it be when the Son of Man will come again. And sometimes I wonder how close we are to that time. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, we read, But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So friends, we know that in actuality, it's not going to get better. But actually, this time will get worse. There's a verse in Revelation 12, verse 12, that says, "For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time." Now, many say that this verse is speaking about the horrible time in the great tribulation when Satan will work frantically to deceive as many as he can, because he knows that it is his last chance. And I believe that is probably the right interpretation of that verse. Yet I also believe that Satan knows already that he doesn't have a lot of time left. And friends, I don't think we have to look very far. And we know that evil is on the rise. I just think of my very own life. When I was young, there was no such a thing as we see nowadays, that there's all these shops in so many different places that says drugs for sale here, or pot available, or pot shop, or there was no such a thing. I can remember the day when the liquor stores would close on the end of Saturday night. There was no liquor stores open on Sunday. But do you see how it's being pushed? And it was so easily available to everyone. The freedom to buy drugs. Alcohol, the sexual immorality in the married and in the unmarried. The murdering of so many unborn babies. The deception of the gay and lesbian world. The rights they have. The hatred for one another, the divorce rate around us. The deception that we see all over, we hardly know what to trust anymore. We do not have to look very far, and we know that the days are evil. Paul says we need to walk circumspectly, not as fools. When we walk in ignorance of the duties and in the carelessness of what the Word of God says, we are actually walking as fools. Proverbs 18, verse 2 says, "A fool has no delight in understanding. He is okay with not knowing what the Word of God says." The fool is the one who doesn't focus on eternity. He only thinks of this life. And in Luke chapter 12, where the rich farmer built his barns bigger to bestow all his fruits, and he promised to himself a life of plenty for many years to come, we find that God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Then whose are those things going to be that he had gathered together? To walk circumspectly is to walk wisely. Wise in the days that we are living in from day to day, but wise also towards the eternity that is coming for sure. Paul says that we are to redeem the time. He says there is an opportunity in this life. He says, use the opportunity that you have been given. Make good use of what God has given to you. If we look at Colossians 4, verse 5. Paul tells the Colossians very much the same thing. He says in Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. He is encouraging us to walk in wisdom before the non-believers. Redeeming the time means buying up every opportunity. Every chance we get to witness to those who are still in unbelief is an opportunity. And we know, friends, that the non-believer is far more observant of our walk than of our talk. That doesn't mean we can't witness to them in words, but we must be very careful that our walk is in line with our talk. And that is why we must make the most of every opportunity we have, not just with our words, but also with our actions. Jesus gave similar advice to his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 16. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus knew the disciples would face some great opposition as they proclaimed the gospel. They were proclaiming the gospel in a dark world, and so are we. Yet he sent them. Sometimes it is the fear of that opposition that causes us to draw back from spreading the gospel. But friends, the Bible is clear. In Romans 12, verse 21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus was triumphant over the powers of evil, and he has sent his people as ambassadors to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of salvation. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Jesus wanted the glorious light of the gospel to expel the darkness of sin, and he gave hope to the people. He has not asked us to go in our own power, but in the power of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to start reading from verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand. Able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak thus far. Friends, to be strong in the Lord is our duty. To be weak is our sin. When Joshua became a leader over the children of Israel, God spake unto him somewhat the very same words, "Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous." He told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Joshua 1, verse 6, 7, and 8. When Paul writes these last words to the Ephesian church, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." He is giving his final advice to his fellow Christians. You know, God gave Joshua this at the beginning of his mission work. And the Apostle Paul gives it to us at the end of the book of Ephesians. It seems as though they are saying something to us. Be strong. From the beginning to end, be strong in the Lord. Be strong, friends, in what you know is right. Be strong in biblical principles. Be strong in your trust in your God. Be strong in your courage to witness. Be strong in endurance. Friends, don't give up. And be strong in your love toward one another. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, Paul tells the Corinthian church, he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." Quit you like men means be brave like a man. Stand up for what is right. You know, sometimes when people display strength, they become harsh or mean. But for us as Christians, our strength ought to be with love. One of the most important things for us as Christians to realize is where our strength lies. Our strength is in the Lord, in the power of his might. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Out of ourselves, friends, we can never do it. We need the Lord's strength. The Apostle Paul is talking of two things to the Ephesians here in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 22, or 20. The first thing is to be strong in the Lord. And the second is to put on the whole armor of God. While these are very, very closely linked together, we cannot focus just on the armor. What good does an armor do to a soldier who is not strong enough to carry it? When King David met with the giant Goliath, he said unto him, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. David's strength was not in what he wore. It came from the Lord, the God that is almighty. And verse 11 says, Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. You know, I have to tell you today that the Christian life is a warfare. The devil is real, and he sends out his hosts to hinder and to fight against the work of Jesus Christ. And he will try to knock down individual people one at a time if he can make them fall. The more effective a believer is for Christ, the more Satan will try to bring him to a fall. Paul puts emphasis on the whole armor of God. Not only one piece, but everything. God has given unto us everything that we need to win the battle in the spiritual life. The Christian armor was given by God so that we can stand. It is not something that man has thought up of themselves. It was given by him. It is not our own, but we need to put it on. God has enabled us to stand against the schemes of the devil. You know, whenever we read about Satan in the scriptures, we find that he is seeking to hinder the work of Christ or the work of God. He tries to keep people away from giving their lives to Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. The devil uses all kinds of schemes to keep people away from Jesus' salvation. And even when people become Christians, then Satan will try to keep them from being active in their faith or from Christian growth. There is a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. And friends, the verse that has really helped me so many times is John 10, verse 10. It says, A thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that ye may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The contrast between the two. And so many times you may think, this little bit, maybe that's okay. But remember one thing, that the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. How many things, how many marriages has he destroyed and started with a very small thing? Remember, if your conscience is bothering you, turn to Christ. He wants to give you life. He wants to give you life abundant. Verse 12 says, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whether we want it or not, friends, we are in a battle. Not just some of us, but all of us. We wrestle in our mind. We wrestle with our hands and our feet. We run. We pull. We push. We pull for what is right. We push against that which is evil. We run from that which is evil. Scripture says we are to flee fornication. I fully believe that verse 12 was written to help us understand our very own weakness in our warfare. We are not fighting flesh and blood, meaning we are not fighting against individual people that are doing wrong. We are fighting higher evil powers. We are dealing with a very subtle enemy, one who uses schemes and strategies. He has thousands of years of experience and just as many ways to bring us to a fall. Principalities and powers and rulers reveal to us that they are numerous. They work hard. They rule in places where Christ has not yet entered, the dark places of this world. It is because of this that we are to take the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and that we have done everything we could to stand. You know, nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that it is okay for us to give up or to quit fighting. Verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." It is our duty to put on the whole armor of God and to stand our ground, to withstand our enemy. We cannot give in. Neither should we remove our armor and go unprotected. We must be girded with truth, and we know that God's word is the truth. In the battle armor, the first thing we were told to put on was the belt, or girded with truth. You know, it is God's word, the truth of God's word, that can help us in every area of life. It gives us understanding and it gives us confidence when we know what the scriptures say. And then he says we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. It is provided to protect the most vital parts of our bodies, which would probably be the heart. It is God's righteousness in us, not our own righteousness. We sometimes like to think of the good that we have done or what we have done for the Lord. But you know, that can very quickly change when we fail somewhere. But the righteousness that is of God is stable. He does not change because we base our faith on what He has done for us. His righteousness has become ours. It is our best defense against spiritual depression to think that we can become righteous before God. Verse 15 says we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation of the gospel means a prepared foundation. The gospel provides the footing for everything we do. Paul said our feet must be shod with good shoes because we are going over some very rough terrain. Good shoes are really the good news. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation. That verse was actually written in Isaiah 52, verse 7, talking about when Jesus came, how beautiful were his feet that brought salvation to us. But then in Romans 10, verse 15, in the New Testament, it is used again and is applied to us as believers. When we carry the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ to all those around us. Then verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith that Paul is describing here gives protection over the whole body. The fiery darts of the wicked come to us from every angle. And sometimes they come at the same time. Think of your thoughts. Sometimes temptation burns inside of us. And then there is the circumstances that go against us. You know, I am so surprised that Satan knows when we are down, when we are weak. And he comes in those circumstances and he tempts us. And he comes with lies. He makes us doubt. Faith. Faith turns all of this away. Faith looks up and it says, I believe God and I believe his word and what it says. Take the shield of faith. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation. You know, a soldier would be a fool going to battle without a helmet. The head, for sure, would need protection. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8 says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects us from discouragement. We know that Christ has provided salvation for us. We have the assurance that God will win in the end. And then he speaks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The idea is that God's Spirit provides a sword. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword if it goes with the Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Is there a stronghold in your life? We know it can be overcome because the scripture says so. You know, again, friends, I want to say that the battle is real. And as Christians, we are called to fight. But remember, it's not a losing battle. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, I want to ask you again at the close of the service, are we too much at ease about spiritual matters? Is Satan getting an advantage of us because we are too consumed with the carnal things? Second Timothy 2, verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Friends, we are God's chosen people. He has chosen us to fight. Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you ever get tired of fighting? Sometimes I must say I do. But this is no time to give up. The day of rest is coming. But it is not yet for us who are alive. In Revelation 14, verse 13, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Friends, there is a day of rest coming. But it is not yet. Fight the good fight of faith. May the Lord give you strength to do so. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. You have given us the victory. It is not something we could earn on our own. We praise and thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the whole scriptures before us, and when we look in the scriptures, we realize that we are in a battle. When we look into the world around us, we know that we are living in an evil day. Oh Lord, we pray this morning that you would give us the strength to fight. Help us not to grow weary in well-doing. For your word says that in due season we will reap if we faint not. O Lord, help us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Lord, give us wisdom from day to day, that our Christian life would not only be a Sunday Christian life, but every day of the year, every day of the week. May our lives be such as would bring honor and glory to you. O Lord, we pray that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, that we would know what the scriptures say, for it is the biggest part of our armor. Let us not lose hope. Oh, Father, help us always to see that you have provided salvation full and free for those who look to you in faith. Thank you for that. May you bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Resolve no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Thank you for leading us in those very fitting songs. I am resolved. Who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Let's walk together. Let's realize that we spur each other on. We need each other. We are accountable to one another. It is not just our own life that we'll be accounted to or accountable for. And friends, I want to encourage you today. We have the whole scriptures. We know the end story. We know that in the end, who's going to win? Revelation 20, verse 10 says this, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beasts and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Sometimes the battle feels almost too great, but don't give up. We know the end story, the end of our life, that if we stick to Jesus, if we walk according to Scripture, we will be so glad at the end. Stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank all of you. I really thank all of you for coming. It has been good for me to be here. May the Word of God have spoken something to us. That will stick in our mind. Remember, we are responsible one to another. Let's walk together. Thank you for coming. Shall we just bow for closing benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may depart, and may the peace of the Lord go with you.